You saw yourself and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody.
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Kline online.
Thank you so much, Robert Moore and Jumbo, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Kline online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 11th, 2012, the only 411 2-0-12 in the history of humanity.
Everybody's saying that the lights don't shine, but the light shine down on me. Got a new friend, I'm a new friend, his name is Jesus. Met him in the parking lot, he took me in his car. Got a new friend, I'm a new friend, his name is Jesus. He rode around all afternoon, he sold me his guitar. I got a new friend, I'm a new friend, his name is Jesus. Give me sideways looks when we set up on the strand. It's hard to suck with Jesus in your band. I wish I was with Jesus when I met you.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Gospel Revolution Radio webcast. This is Glenn Kline Online. Welcome to the Love Train, ladies and gentlemen, all across the globe. Glad to have you along for the ride on this particular Wednesday night. inviting you to participate if you so happen to be listening live around the globe at about 12 minutes until 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America. Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your call. He has a very, very righteous T-shirt on this evening, you'll be happy to know, because it is full of holes, as I discovered upon my entrance to the studio. So give Sean a call and your blessing at 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free line all over North America, 1-800-436-3260, toll-free or all over the globe. We would love to hear from you outside of North America at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. A lot of things to get to tonight, so we will hope to hear from you as well. This is your invitation, folks. If you're listening live, we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. You need us on that wall. You want us on that wall, and we need to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773. And now, without any delay, let us go across the Gulf of Mexico from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. I don't even know what they call the Bay in Houston, but we'll call it the home of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online the founder and president, the Grand Poobah, the most high and holy reverend of said revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Glenn.
Good evening.
It's called the Galveston Bay.
It's called the Galveston Bay. Very nice.
Yeah. And so when people are calling and getting Sean tonight, they are calling His Holiness, huh?
He is. He's full of holes. He told me, maybe this was privileged information, but I don't think so, that the particular gray
and, now, when did that stop you?
and righteous T-shirt that he is wearing, full of holes, because it is holy, he said it used to fit him better. But I think he looks quite good in it, actually.
He looks holy.
Fresh out of the tanning booth. He's ready to rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you are ready to rock and roll. Michael, are you ready?
I'm ready. I've actually been waiting on this one. I'm always looking forward to them, but this one is like, hey, we need to get this on. We need to have a good time. And I think everybody is ready for it also.
Now, we're going to start with something that Michael has not yet learned of. Here's the email that came through right prior. And you guys also know you can email us at any time at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We've got a ton of emails to get to. We probably won't get to them. In fact, in some sense, we hope that we can't get to them until a email extravaganza, which means that there's a lot of people calling. It always takes that first caller, so you be the first caller tonight at 1-800-436-3260. But this came through, Mikey, right before the start of the OJs and Love Train. And is there a more perfect song in the world than that song?
Especially not tonight when we get into the meat of this about tell all the folks in Africa.
Exactly. Tell all the folks in Russia, in China. I mean, listen, nothing is that song's got to be 35, 40 years old. Tell the folks in Russia and China, tell the folks in Africa, tell the folks in Israel and Egypt too. I mean, come on. You guys, we've got some work to do. But here's a gentleman from the great continent of Asia, China, Hong Kong. And this is from the Far East correspondent of the Gospel Revolution, Dr. Li Lau. He says, hi, guys. Greetings from Hong Kong. Enjoying life, seeing my little daughter, Laurel, growing up every day. Check this out, brah. Knowing that she is righteous, holy, and perfect is such a joy to behold. These have been amazing webcasts, such renewing of the mind and the saving of the soul. The good news needs to be shared with every human being. Like in Russia and China and Egypt and Israel and Africa. I shall increase my monthly pledge by $30.
Oh, wonderful.
I know.
Yay.
Li Lau, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Li Lau.
The Far East correspondent, Dr. Li Lau, Yes, and you guys have seen the picture, hopefully, by this time on the webpage, of Laura Lau being born. It's been, she's probably like 3 months old, right? Thereabouts?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
That's about right. Lee, thank you so much. I know you're listening. You know, I am so, you guys, we've had the privilege, Michael and I and the attendees of the first Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston in 2008 had the privilege of actually meeting Lee Lau. He came, Mikey, to the Marriott there in Houston.
Yes, he did, and he brought his brother with him. And actually, to the next one, he already had plans of bringing several families. And then he hit kind of a crisis there and had some things to go through and take care of at home and was not able to make the second journey. But we're holding out that we want to get we want him to get his child up old enough to be able to travel, and he and his wife come in and join us in our next gathering. We'd love to have them again. We can't wait to meet her for sure.
No doubt. What a privilege it was to meet Lee Lau. I mean, I feel like I've met a Gospel Revolution celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he has definitely been a huge part, as so many people have been, you know, and for somebody to travel that far to get to the meeting that we were holding here in Houston, we were very honored to have their presence there. And of course, we had people flying in from Canada and other points, and since then we've had folks show up from Australia, and it's this love train is on the move.
No doubt, this love train is on the move. That was supposed to be tighter than it was, but this is in honor of Dr. Lee Lau and Laura Lau and Mrs. Yeah. Lau and all the Laos in Hong Kong.
Yes. All the people in Hong Kong. Love you.
This is an infectious song, Michael. The gospel around the world, that's our goal.
That's our goal. That's our song. I'm voting on that one.
you're saying this is a theme song for
this
us?
This is it. Why not? I love it. I loved it when I was a kid, and I love it now. It means even more now.
No doubt. Let's listen to it for one more second. Michael, you described the Gospel Revolution as a train before, and why don't you rehearse your description of the gospel for the beautiful humans that have not learned that we are not a caboose?
I don't even remember making that correlation, so oh. You got me.
It was on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution Facebook for oh so long, and I cannot quote it. But it basically said, we are a Gospel Revolution train, and our favorite thing is to take new territory. We are not a caboose following after anybody. We are leading into new territory.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I don't remember saying it at all, but yay.
It's on the website and everything.
Well, I mean, my goodness, that could have been Jeff's quote. I don't know.
No, that is.
But it could have been me.
I know. Explain to the folks how excited you get, because Michael doesn't routinely listen to its teachings or listen to the webcast, but every so often you caught a clip or a clip rather, of a teaching, a video, and what does it do to your soul, and how shocked are you?
Well, it's always surprising to me. I am overwhelmed. I'm surprised at the clarity of the gospel. I'm surprised at the wisdom that is there. It is a wonderful thing to have such a really grand and glorious understanding to come out of you and feel that it is so one with you, and at the same time, it feels in its declaration so separate from you. And so many times it just feels like I've sat down and I've become the listener in the middle of all of this. And it's been that way for these last many, many years. And what an amazing thing it is. I am so proud of the gospel. I cannot think of anything in life about my life or anything about anyone else's life that I am more proud of than the gospel.
That's a powerful statement, ladies and gentlemen, from Mike Williams, the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're taking your calls at 1-800-436-3260, toll-free in Canada and the U.S. of A, 1-800-436-3260, or you can call us all over the planet on the direct line at 813-425-5773. We've got a caller online, Michael. Let's go to him right now. Please welcome online, ladies and gentlemen, from Calhoun, Louisiana, the James Taylor of the Gospel Revolution. Please say hello to Mr. James Taylor. James!
Hey, guys.
James, so happy to hear from you.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say how much I appreciate you guys for being the voice that you are and giving the tools that you give us, Mike, with the gospel and hearing the gospel. And it just, word can't express enough to say thank you. And I, of course, I just wanted to call and tell you guys hello. I haven't actually called into the show in quite a while.
Yeah, we missed you.
I would like to share something, though, while I'm online. It's one thing that I've learned, is in hearing the gospel, but it's another thing in letting it permeate and learning to live the gospel. I mean, I listen to your CDs often, but and that's great, and I still continue to do that. But I've learned to let it meditate upon me and permeate my soul and just live life and live that freedom. And I just encourage, any of the listeners or anyone else to just take that a step further and live that. Just live your life and your freedom. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is, and it's and thank you very much for your comments. They're very gracious, and of course, I feel the very same way about it. It's just I'm so grateful. I'm just so thankful for this understanding of the gospel, regardless of who it comes through or even what effort would bring it forth. It is just amazing. It really is utterly amazing. The consistency of the gospel. I can tell you, still to this date, I have yet in sharing the gospel had to say if and or but or maybe. These answers are all very definitive and very clear. And the reason the world has this all screwed up is because they don't know where the definitive line was drawn. And the definitive line was drawn at the cross. The comparisons aren't between our lives before we knew Jesus and after we knew Jesus. The definitive declaring lines and the lines that were drawn for understanding and the two different parameters of understanding were divided at the cross. And when we understand this powerful final declaration of absolute freedom, not a carrot stick of freedom in front of the human race, but a declaration of absolute righteousness and freedom to the whole planet, it does have an impact, as you say. When you meditate on it, this is it. The only thing the gospel is news. It is news. News is something that has happened. This is news. This soul is impacted by the news that the brain takes in. Whatever news you're taking in, it is absolute that news is going to have an impact upon you mentally and emotionally. And you can listen to the news, and believe me, it can ruin your day by the time you're finished with a lot of the news. But the news of an event comes into your life, that's when it begins to impact you mentally and emotionally. We all live by the news that comes to us. Now, the gospel is good news, but it's good news about something that is so profound that you can't get this news anyplace else. It only comes from the gospel, and and I know that we've gone through that time of just being just ticked off at Christianity for screwing it up so bad.
Oh yeah.
You know, this is good news. How could you take good news and turn it into such bad news?
They really messed it up. But
they messed it up.
And we talk about that a lot, folks. We really do. First of all, I'd like to say both to James and to Michael, thank you for bringing up the term meditation again. Because literally, folks, see, all these words actually mean something. And all that meditation means is to talk about or to mutter. Talk about the gospel. And we talk about the gospel every day and every week on this webcast. But, Mikey, what about James's point of how do you live the gospel? Or would it be fair to say that we are not to live the gospel, but the gospel lives inside of us?
Well, it's both, actually. As a result of the gospel living in us, we get to live the gospel. And the gospel living in you means that you are allowing the gospel to remove. Now, remember, the gospel gives you nothing except good news. What that good news does is remove. It removes guilt and judgment. So how do you live the gospel? You live the gospel by remaining in life guilt-free and judgment-free. This is the whole story of the gospel. We don't have a gospel of healing. We don't have a gospel of prosperity. We don't have any of those gospels that are out there. They are not gospels at all. There's no place that calls them the gospel. It is called the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace removes from our hearts all judgment. The gospel of grace removes all guilt. The joining of those two, the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace, are like lasers, as I have said before. Like a laser, the gospel of peace removes judgment. And the gospel of grace removes from our hearts guilt. And those are the two things. These are the two elements of this good news. There are not 10 elements of the gospel. There are two elements of the gospel, grace and peace. One removes guilt, one removes judgment. Live that, and you will enjoy this life.
That's it, Michael. You're so right about that. And I know there early on there was times that I would basically just kind of vacillate or maybe use it as a pain reliever.
Yeah.
In the instant. Instead of actually living it or letting it live in me.
I hear you. I hear you.
But we're beyond that. We're beyond that now. I'm beyond that now. So this is so wonderful. It's so awesome.
It is the constant, as you said, the constant absorption of this is what we finally realize that it is daily sustenance. It really is to the soul. It really is what the soul operates on. I believe the new creation. I believe that the God-man, man-God, must have gospel. The God-man, man-God, must have gospel to function properly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing out here. We're not out trying to get people into heaven. Jesus did that. I will never take that upon myself ever again as we did in Christianity. We are here trying to resolve eternal matters for people. All eternal, not some, no ifs, no ands, no buts, no babies, no maybes.
All eternal matters were
solved.
No.
Yes, all eternal matters were resolved 2,000 years ago. The gospel handles temporal matters.
Ooh.
Yes.
It handles the temporal matters of the soul. You have the eternal matters established by the cross. They are so established that the temporal matters of the gospel will get us through all of these temporal things, regardless of what the outcome is.
That's one of the places that Christianity has gone so askew, Michael, is that they think that the gospel or the power of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit is here to literally affect outcomes of the temporal life. Now that and that would also include outcomes of this temporal life, whether somebody decides to accept Christ or not. Starting from that to every other result of things that happen in this life, that's not what the gospel is for, is it?
No, the gospel is not for that. And the preaching of the gospel is to people that have a free will. The cross is for people that had no will involved. And Christianity has taken that message and turned it completely on its head. Well, I was talking to Richard. I was getting to mull things over.
Richard Mull in Garden Grove, California. By the way, Richard's doing fine, you guys. We would like to hear from him.
Oh, he's fantastic.
But you guys around the planet that are wondering about our dear brother Richard Mull in Garden Grove, California, need to know that, yes, he still has 3 4-stage cancers. And
two of them are stage four.
Two of them are stage four now.
Right.
To say that he was alive and well and kicking would be an understatement. But anyway, so you're mulling things over with Richard, Michael.
Yes, and one of the discussions came up. He called me and said, Mike, I've been looking at this. And when he's been looking at that, I know I'm going to learn something. And so he brought up he said, you know, all these people saying God's got a plan and a purpose for you and all that. He said, the only place I can find it is where in the scriptures he says, I know my plan for you, and I know what my plans are for you. And he says, that's all about Jesus. He said, scriptures aren't about us. And I said, well, yeah, that's right. But you see, when God planned and purposed Jesus' life, he foretold it where Jesus could read about it. God is, just think how cruel we have placed this. We tell everybody that comes into this planet, this Christian world, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, but you got to find it. Is he going to send you an email? Or are you going to find out? You're going to pray? Are you going to listen to a prophet? Good God, we know we went through all of that crap so many years ago of personal prophecies. How are you going to know that you are in that plan? And if you're not in that plan, are you in God's will? And these are the things that cascade down upon the soul and bear so much weight that it is so repressive, it is not livable. I want to make this statement because this is what came out of my conversation with Richard. I have such delight in telling you God has no plan for your life. None.
That's awesome.
Now,
hold on, Mikey. James, why in the world would a guy in Louisiana tonight say with that information from Michael that God has no plan for your life. Why in the world would a guy from the midst of the Bible Belt in Calhoun, Louisiana, say, awesome?
Because I have the understanding that God has put me behind the steering wheel. He's given me the freedom. I can plan my own life. He has no plan for my life. Carve out my path. He's given me the freedom to live, to be who I am, to walk this life, enjoy this life, to do whatever. Mm-hmm. I have that freedom, and that is awesome. Without
that
having
power.
Yeah. To have the confidence to move forward in this life and not with something hanging over my head or whatever, or worried about, you know, am I going to make this move? Am I going to make that move? I'm going to do this wrong. I'm going to do that wrong. Oh, no, those days are gone. They are history.
Hallelujah.
For me. They are history for me. And, matter of fact, the other day I was invited to go to a church service, and of course I declined.
I got to tell you, I was talking to a gospel revolutionary this week who did not decline the Easter Sunday invitation, and he told me that he literally almost got physically ill listening to the altar call at this Easter Sunday service.
Oh my God! You know, I was about to say, Glenn, you know, I thought to myself, now I didn't say this to this individual, that, you know, where I got the invitation from, but I said, why in the world would I want to go to a waiting room of a mental institution?
Ooh, wow.
And that just popped in my, out of my heart, in my, into my head, and I said, because that's exactly where I would be headed. From a waiting room. I mean, you know, Mike, you've shared many stories of what religion and has done to people's minds and how it's destroyed lives and everything, and these things kept coming up, but I remember things that I experienced being in evangelical Christianity. I can rightfully say today I'm no longer a Christian and be proud of that, of saying that.
But why
would I want to go to a waiting room of a mental institution? And that's just how I see it.
Exactly. And Mikey, while we have to admit that most people don't make it into the mental institution, the fact of the matter is we've never heard a better description of churchianity than a waiting room for a mental institution. And you had a few trips to the old mental institution, did you
not?
Well,
it certainly turned out to be my history. It was definitely the waiting room for the mental institution for me. You've described my life perfectly, James, and it certainly was that.
How many times did you go?
I was in six times with three attempts of suicide.
Wow.
And there were times that I was in. One time I went in the fall. I never saw winter. I did not come out from behind the brick walls until it was springtime. And I don't know how long that was in that time frame, but I do know that I never felt cold weather that year because I was locked up the entire time. And goodness gracious, you know, to call it insanity is not even doesn't even come close. But the grief and the sorrow and the depression, just so profound, just so deep, and just so pressing. And I did not know what was the root cause of all of this anguish in my life. And I had no clue there was a gospel that would relieve me from all this anguish. I thought for sure that I was going to have to be on drugs the rest of my life to be able to cope. I'll tell you something. I don't knock somebody who's taken medications for something on a psychological level. But let me tell you something. If you want something to be a good dose for you mentally and emotionally,
make sure you take your gospel, as they used to call it. And I even use the term because we used to call it that. But
we're reclaiming all kinds of terms. So we reclaim.
We don't let them take anything. We're not letting them take anything.
We'll take gospel.
Absolutely.
So, Michael, what was the root cause of your six stays at the mental institution?
It was guilt.
All right, so you go to the mental institution three times in the wake during some of those visits of three attempts at suicide. And yes, as you've described on this radio program and throughout your teachings around the world, a history of anxiety and panic disorder. And then what happened to you?
Well, I began to understand the gospel. And the here's the thing. I did not know what the gospel was doing to me until after it did it. See, I never had a position that the gospel would do anything that had nothing to do with any of this. I was not attempting to get any bit from the gospel whatsoever. I simply wanted to know the truth, and that's all. And as I started sharing the truth, my life, the life that I did have, started falling apart. My appeal to the Christian community as a speaker began to fall apart. My financial life fell apart completely. I mean, I was very comfortable financially. In my world, I was very comfortable financially. But as the understanding, thread by thread, started coming pertaining to the gospel, even though I saw what it was doing, I could not turn back. There was nothing to go back to. It's amazing when you get a clear understanding of any element of the gospel, you'll never go back the other way. You can't. It seems as though once the heart and the brain connect together on one single thread of information, you're there. You are there. Now, being there and that being nourished on a daily basis, a continuous basis, is something that all of us need, regardless of how much we know. The gospel is not a stored knowledge. It is an active knowledge. And it is something that we need to share. I need the gospel shared with me as much as I get out of sharing the gospel. But now it works both ways. The power of this gospel and its influx into my life is just as powerful coming out as it is coming in. And this has been something, like I said, the only thing I've been able to do is simply observe this. I had no clue. You got to understand, I had no clue that the gospel could do the things to my mind and to my soul that it was doing.
One of the great analogies that you've given over time, Michael, is the analogy of the Dead Sea. And the reason that the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea, folks, and I have floated. I have been in the Dead Sea. And you can't drown in the Dead Sea because you are completely buoyed, because there's so much salt in the Dead Sea in Israel that you can't help but float on the Dead Sea. Now, if all you want to do is float, that's fine, because we've seen people come in to the gospel, be freed from churchianity, be freed from religion, be freed from legalism, and they never have an outflow or even stop the outflow of this gospel to other people, and they just float right along, which is fine. Obviously, everybody's got a right to do what they want to do. But, Michael, the analogy that you've given is the reason the Dead Sea is dead is because it only has an influx. It's not outflowing at all. It just, all it's doing is receiving. And receiving is good, but according to Yeshua, giving is even better.
Yeah, in fact, the more you give, the more there is capacity to receive. And we're talking about this whole realm of knowledge and understanding and clarity of mind and heart and soul. And so it is good to share.
even as far back, I was thinking about my days, even all the way back to the Children of God was my first involvement in an active ministry type situation. And I loved telling people about the love of Jesus and how much Jesus loved them. And I you know, no matter whether it was at a picnic table in a park or a beach in Florida or the alleyways in Puerto Rico or in somebody's house, my goodness, the times that we went door to door, knocking on people's doors constantly, standing there many religions do that go around door to door.
Yeah, like
we were going around doing the same thing.
Like good Mormons or good Jehovah's Witness. You did
yes,
good.
We thought if they do it, you know, we ought to be doing it too, at least, you know. So, and I really had a lot of joy in sharing that because the emphasis, even that back then, no matter who I was sharing with, my emphasis was not that they were going to hell. I just, that was the conclusion, of course, that we presented. But the whole issue was just the love of God, the love that He has for us.
Right, because even in those days, you did get temporary relief from understanding the compassion and
absolutely
the forbearance and the forgiveness of God,
and sharing it. Yeah. Even though the way of the forgiveness came was I was completely wrong about,
right,
even that still brought some degree of help to myself.
Right, and you guys can relate to that. Hey, James, thank you for not being at Dead Sea tonight there in Louisiana.
Thank you, James.
Hey, you're welcome, and I love you guys. And I just want to say a big hello to Moses in Kenya, Africa.
Oh, yes.
Perfect introduction to our next segment, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, just... power to you.
That's exactly right, my friend.
Love you, James.
And, love you, too. Bye-bye.
There goes James Taylor, the James Taylor of the Gospel Revolution. And when we return on the next side, we will be talking about the aforementioned Moses Nagatagachow. And when we return on the other side, phone lines are available to you guys, too, now. So take James' place. You can see how much of a difference it made to hearing from him. We want to hear from you right now, right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Incredible responsibility that we have as believers to speak up when the scriptures, the law, the psalms, and the prophets is spoken of as though they were nothing. I speak concerning the judgments that are spoken of by Peter in his writings, and I condemn them. Isaiah didn't say this is a rule, you got to do this. He said this is your heritage, that we should condemn every tongue that rises in judgment. And you should let no one stand and speak as though it is nothing.
That was Mike Williams in the new teaching series entitled A Scriptural Peace, recorded at the 2010 Southeast Conference, and is now available on the GospelRevolution.com website. This 5-CD series, The Scriptural Peace, can be yours for $40 plus shipping and handling. You can also take advantage of a special offer to download an audiobook version to your iPod or computer for just $20. For that download link, please email a request to freedom@GospelRevolution.com. That's freedom@GospelRevolution.com. A Scriptural Peace. Get your copy today.
You have a heritage.
I forgot to ask James Taylor a question. I'm so bummed. James Taylor has these great jokes on Facebook. You know, it's like a story. Like a man went into a bar. Or Michael Williams went into a church. Or I mean, there are these stories. They are storybook jokes. And I wanted to ask James if he actually made those up. Because, I mean, they are extremely creative and very funny. And if you guys want to get in on the joke, just Facebook James Taylor from Calhoun, Louisiana. And I'm sure he will accept your friendship. Dude, how exciting and how thrilled are you to have heard from James Taylor and his perspective tonight?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's the, you know, the gospel does exactly the same thing in every heart. We don't even have to, we don't even have to make this, in any way, you know, in the form of Christianity where we emphasize that it was a change of actions and deeds,
right,
that was, indicated salvation. Everybody had a different testimony. I was a drunk. I was this. I was that. I used to do this. Used to do that. Used to lie. Used to do this. And now I'm saved, and I don't do that no more. And under the gospel, though, instead of being under Christianity, the gospel produces exactly the same testimony every time, regardless of where you are when you encounter the gospel, and the gospel has the liberty to encounter you. As it has exactly the same, and it, you never get tired of the story, because you know, because every story you hear, you know how powerful that is because you experienced that. You know, when you get somebody, you know, just like I used to get up and tell people, yes, I used to be a homosexual, I got set free. Everybody there could rejoice for me, but very few could relate to me.
Why could very few relate to you?
Because there wasn't that many there that were homosexuals. So.
Or there were homosexuals there that had not got quote unquote freed yet.
Well, that's what I said. They, at least for some reason, they could not relate. But, and of course I wasn't free either. Jesus, I didn't even know what freedom was. But now we know what freedom is. We all have freedom. Nobody's going to get any freer.
What are we speaking
of the work of the cross? You don't get freer sin than what you are now.
What are we freed from?
What mankind has been 2,000 years.
Right. What are we freed from? If you can't get any freer, what is everybody who, like you said, has the exact same testimony, what in God's name are we freed from?
We are walking out of guilt and judgment, and that is the same testimony all the way through. But you see, we're walking out of guilt and judgment because we were freed 2,000 years ago from sin. We shouldn't even be having to get free from guilt and judgment.
We shouldn't even be having this discussion right now.
This Lee Lau and his wife are raising this sweet little girl. Laura's our baby. And we're just so excited that this baby from conception has been told and understands.
From conception.
And the parents understand. You know, it's righteous.
You know it was from conception. I mean, that is.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. From conception. Think about that, you guys. From conception, there is a human being walking the face of the, well, I don't know if Laura's walking yet, but crawling the face. She might not even be crawling. She's rolling. We have a human being rolling over on her backside that from day one, literally from day one, understands that they are perfect and holy and righteous and without sin and blameless before the creator of the universe. That has got to be very good news for Laurel. She don't even know it yet.
Yeah, she will never know sin. She will never know guilt. She'll never know judgment. And folks, if that's not something worth really putting effort into, and all of you guys that gave in the pledge drive, again, thank you so very much. My goodness. This is what it's going for. We want parents already established in the gospel before they conceive their children. We want to see a generation raised up on this planet that doesn't have a clue what the emotion of guilt and judgment feels like. that this is this this incredible heritage that we have of this freedom from sin through the cross and the understanding of oneness with God and this absolute liberty. We should not be having to try to get people free from guilt. They should know this, and they should be raised in it. They should know it, and there should never be a question. There should never be a, it should never be said, oh, now Jesus don't like that. Now Jesus won't be happy with you. Oh, that makes the baby Jesus cry.
Or how about, how about this? How about God may have a better way, even?
Oh,
that sounds a little more subtle.
Yeah, and regardless of how it is, I mean, there's never going to be, that baby will learn how to climb steps, pull over and stand up and walk, but she'll never have to take one step to become righteous. She'll never have to walk up one step to become holy. She will never have to go from one room to the other to try to gain something from God. She won't ever have to breathe once thinking there's something she needs to do to please God.
Let that soak in for a second, beautiful humans. Think about that. Think about a planet dominated by people that are raised that way.
Yeah. Mm. That's the goal.
Well, that's what we're doing, folks. I don't. Not only am I proud of the gospel, Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel. I am so confident of this gospel. I know, like, if I know anything, I know it's going to have its work. It's having its work. It's having it.
Absolutely.
Listen, if the gospel could save my soul, if the gospel could save Michael Williams' soul, if the gospel could save James Taylor's soul, if the gospel could save Lee Lau's soul, if the gospel could save Jeff Robertson's soul, if the gospel, I could go on and on. It can save anybody's soul. You guys,
you put in a position. See, this is the thing. The gospel doesn't resolve your problems. It just takes the two heavy weights off of you that sit there and give you no resolve for the problems that you have.
Right. And then,
you are a person who has a soul. You have a mind and emotions. But that mind and those emotions have to be freed from guilt and judgment. You can be creative and innovative in dealing with your problems and rational and deal with reality instead of having to go into some bizarre zone to have to deal with things.
What would you say to folks, Michael, that say, you gospel revolutionaries, you guys go too far with being free from guilt?
I would say we don't go far enough. I don't think I've ever communicated the gospel clearly enough to where that the degree of freedom from sin that was granted equals the degree of revelation that I could share to totally root people out of guilt. Now, what we do share is the truth of the gospel. That's just all there is to it. But I still think, see, there's always words. There's always a better way to say something. There's always a clearer way to say it. What we say, I don't know if it's ever changing, but the greater clarity to that with that moment in time where that song or that poem or those words just strike just right to where that you can hear that tone and that tune in your own heart and your own soul, your own mind. And but guilt, you know, we are so deeply embedded in guilt that it now is labeled as a pathology if you have no guilt. Because nobody can imagine somebody free from guilt, so they go to people who have so succumbed to guilt that they have no conscience anymore. people who go out and murder somebody or do something to somebody and don't feel bad about it are not people not affected by guilt. These are people that were totally defeated by guilt.
And they're thinking,
totally had the life squashed out of them by guilt.
And as you have done a study of sociopathic serial killers,
yes,
they almost universally come from very religious families, and they know that they are damned. They know that they are condemned. And so the amount of guilt that is oppressed on their minds allows them to say, listen, I killed one, I killed two, I might as well kill 27. What's the difference?
Yes. And the whole issue, see, these conflicts come from the heart, this deliberate, intentional murder of lives that you don't even know about. You see, that comes from the heart of somebody who already believes they are condemned.
Would you say accurately that it comes from the heart, or it comes from the emotions or the soul?
Yeah, it comes from the soul. It is a defective soul.
It's a defective soul.
And but see, this is a soul that's already succumbed to guilt.
You guys, you have to understand, the soul is the way you think. What we started talking about at the beginning of our conversation with James Taylor, the gospel is just information. That's all we have is information. Now, there's information already resident in your heart, and then there's all the other information. There's the information that comes from the media. There's information that comes from your parents. There's information that comes from your school. There's information that comes from the pulpit. And then you sort, right, Mikey? You sort that information. And if the information that is so overwhelming that no matter, listen, the Lord Yeshua taught that if you even think about it, you have done it. So whether you have actually done something or not, if you're under a teaching or information that your very thoughts have already condemned you, or how about your very words, you will be judged for every word that comes out of your mouth. If you think that that's the end of the story, Michael, I think it would be safe to say that people are in a world of hurt at that point.
Well, if Jesus taught that Jesus taught a law that said if you even think about it, you're guilty of it. That tells me that his work had to do something at the cross that would give us something that would take that away. And you know what? It has been taken away. The law that says you're guilty if you do it or think it has been taken away. But see, that's how powerful what you think is connected to the existence on earth. Because the law was in effect, Jesus said, you think it's just about actions and deeds. He said, I'm telling you, it's not about actions and deeds. It's about thoughts.
Right.
And that's what the law finally drove home, that it's even if the thought is there. So what do we have now to replace that? Even if the thought is there, you're condemned. Let me tell you something. If just the thought is there that you are righteous, you are, and you're holy, if just the thought is there, you're going to begin to release guilt and judgment out of your life.
Just the thought is everything, you guys.
That's it.
Let me tell you something. A gospel revolutionary this week asked me, Michael, if the resurrection of Christ was necessary. In other words, is it foretold in the scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that I would ask you the question, but here's what my response was. I don't know if, and I frankly, I don't know if in the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, the scriptures, we're going to be talking about the school of the scriptures in a few moments, folks, so stay tuned for that. Our new school of the scriptures in Kenya. I'm not sure, and I've only studied the scriptures for about 25 years now. I don't know if it foretells a resurrection, but this I do know. The pre-cross Yeshua, the pre-cross Jesus, articulated and related and emoted a completely different way prior to the cross than he did after the cross. And even if it's not scriptural, we have a record of a Jesus that is condemning even to your thoughts, folks, even to your thoughts before the cross. And especially, or maybe even specifically, to the children of Israel who were under the law. After the cross, Mikey, when he approaches Thomas, when he approaches Peter, when he approaches the guys on the road to, where were they on the road to?
Emmaus.
It's a whole different Jesus. He's got a different attitude. He's got an attitude of gratitude, if you will.
Yeah, well, the scriptures do foretell the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's brought out in many different ways. And, of course, the scriptures did say that the penalty of sin, the penalty of the law was death. And also that death would be defeated. Now, the only way death can be defeated is with resurrection. So the resurrection was foretold. It was foretold even in the Jonas going into the belly of the whale.
Right.
And that he would be there 3 days and then come out. And that was the sign of the prophet Jonas. That is what Jesus told them, that no sign shall be given except that sign of the prophet Jonas. And to indicate that Jesus would go into the belly of the earth, as it is called, and that he would come back out again. And he did. And it was necessary, and scriptures teach that it was necessary, that Jesus defeat the penalty of sin and the death of sin.
Mm. See, you guys, I know you guys that have listened to the webcast for a while know that this show is completely and utterly unrehearsed. And I know there's somebody listening around the planet right now that I talked to this week that asked that question. Was the resurrection necessary? It was prophesied. And that just came off the top of Michael's head, was the example of Jonah in the belly of the big fish. Yeah, after 3 days, he was barfed up. Yeah, he was. He was resurrected. Oh, God, that's good stuff. We just heard from the Postmaster General of the Gospel Revolution from Canton, Ohio, Tom Tomsky. Our next caller will appreciate this. Our next caller will appreciate this. He says, this is poetic, if you will. He said, if I told you what it takes to reach the highest high, you'd laugh and say, nothing's that simple. But you've been told many times before, Messiah pointed to the door, but no one has the guts to leave the temple. I'm free. I'm free. And freedom tastes of reality. That is not from the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution, ladies and gentlemen. That is from the Postmaster General of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Thomas Tomsky from Canton, Ohio. But now let us do go to the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online. We're so happy to hear from him. From Huachuca City, AZ, please welcome online Mr. Jackie Barner. Jackie!
Hi, guys. How are you?
Jackie, how do I answer the how do I answer the phone when I see your caller ID come through?
Jackie.
Exactly. Jackie.
my name happens to be Thomas.
What did you say about Thomas?
That's my first name.
Oh, that's actually your name. Your name is actually Thomas Barnard.
That is correct.
It's Thomas Jacquet Barnard.
Yeah. Richard calls me JB, Richard Mull. I talked to him today. Talked to Glenn today, didn't I, Glenn?
And how did I answer the phone when you called?
Jacquet. I think we've been through that, though, haven't we? Didn't we cover that already?
Dude, listen, we're in 185 countries of the world. Somebody is listening right now for the first time. We've got to bring them up to speed.
Okay. I have a question for Michael. The Great Commission. I understand that it was not in the original manuscripts. Uh-huh. But was in the original manuscript. It ends with, "And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age."
Yes.
Well, first of all, let us rehearse the fact that the term Great Commission never appears in the entirety of the Bible, number one. That again, is an invention like the rapture by Christianity. The Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then will come the end of the age, that term Great Commission, which is very much boilerplate in evangelical Christian churches, never appears. And but what's your point, Jackie?
Well, I was just going to ask Mike if he would expound on that, take it a little further than that.
Well, I'm not sure that I can, because of course Jesus is with us, of course, but he's with everyone, even to those who have not heard the gospel. And he is with us to the end of the age, but the age that he was in after his resurrection, there is no end to this age. So there could be a play on words there if you took it as something that was actually said, that, you know, I'll be with you until the end. But we know there's no end to this. There, you remember in dispensationalism, Jackie, we always were told about the dispensation of grace. Do you know they actually have the audacity?
Absolutely.
They have the audacity to say that grace is a dispensation that is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, let me assure you that the dispensation, dispensationalism is something that I've taught them for and tried to help people understand, because Christianity, to survive, Christianity's doctrine must depend on something that is not in the Bible at all, again, and it's called dispensationalism, where that they have categorized different time periods and how they last a certain time.
Right.
And they literally have ascribed this time of grace, where you have the opportunity to receive it or reject it, and that age of grace is going away and judgment is coming back again. That another dispensation of judgment is coming.
Right, and then there will be this massive judgment, the end of the world, Armageddon.
Yes,
and then there's only going to be 1,000 years of peace on the earth. This is,
and that's another dispensation,
right,
that they have. But what you have to understand is that Jesus brought us into the world without end. This world, this grace that has been established, this gospel, it has no end. There is no place for it to come to an end. And the doctrine of Christianity is so confusing that they have to break it up into dispensational acts. To be able to preach judgment after the cross, they have to say that the age of grace is going to end.
Right.
And that judgment is coming back.
Jackie,
and there's nothing in the gospel that says that there's going to be an end to the grace of God. In fact, he says, once my covenant of peace has been established, it will never leave the earth. And that covenant will never, ever go away. And he says, I will never be angry with you again, and I will, I won't even rebuke you.
Right,
I have no correction for you.
And my remembrance of your sin will be as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
Try to calculate.
That's how God does everything.
Yeah.
As far as the east is from the west.
Exactly. Now, Jack, where is that reference from Yeshua? Was that pre-cross or post-cross that you referenced, the so-called Great Commission?
Oh, it was pre-cross.
Right.
Pre-cross.
So, Mikey, would it be fair to say, or I should say, how fair is it to say that the age that he was speaking of prior to the cross was the age of Old Testament Judaism, the age of bulls and goats, the age of a temple, the age of animal sacrifice. And he said to them that he'll be with them until the end. And he was he not?
Well, that is true, but I'm not sure, Jackie, that that is correct. You'll have to check this out now, because my understanding of these, quote, great commissions were this was the last thing Jesus said before he ascended, which would have been after the death, burial, and resurrection.
All right, you guys, you got...
I believe that it was before.
All right, so we got a homework assignment now for the Gospel Revolutionaries that are listening live. With about 5 minutes left to go, we'll probably hear from Jeff Robertson quickly as to whether that was a pre-cross or post-cross quote from Yeshua. This is not a minor deal, you guys. Now, here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing. Here's the gospel reality, is that whether Yeshua was talking before the cross, meaning he was literally with them until the end of that age, the age where the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the high priest was rent in two, the destruction of the temple at the cross, not at 70 AD when the building came down, but literally when the temple ceased to be an effective just covering, just an atonement for sin, just a one-time, one-year atonement for sin, or even after, because his age is without end. Now, that's the gospel understanding. It really doesn't make a difference, but it'd be interesting to know, right, Jackie?
Absolutely.
Hey, brother, I cannot thank you enough for calling. How is Billy Thompson this fine evening?
She's super. Just super fantastic. Don't even get me started.
All right, we won't. But what we will reiterate to you guys that, again, are new to the Gospel Revolution, Jackie Barnard, the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolutionary, and Billy Thompson, the graphic artist of the Gospel Revolution, met at the first ever Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston, about a year ago. And, well, so far so good, right, Jackie?
So far so fantastic, yes.
So fantastic.
I like that. All right, Jack, we're out of time. We got to go.
I'll leave you with this benediction. World without end. Amen. Amen. See you later, guys.
All right.
Bye, Thomas.
Thomas, I liked it. Tommy Barnard, also known as Jacque of the Gospel Revolution, the poet laureate, calling us from the land of the sun. What are you drinking?
I have some iced tea that I'm drinking.
Like Long Island iced tea?
And just iced tea.
Is it sweetened iced tea?
It is sweetened with Splenda.
Ooh. You know, I can't do the Splenda, bro. I can't do it. It just, I don't know. It does something to my system. All right. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. We've been teasing you all night with the information from Africa. Tell all the brothers in Africa. No, what is it? Tell all the folks in Africa. You guys rewind it and listen to it.
Listen to the song.
But we're so excited about what's happening in Africa.
Oh, are we ever?
Yeah, we've got the brand spanking new School of the Scriptures happening in Kenya. And our latest course...
like a shot out of a gun.
Indeed. We don't know exactly. The last total was about 15 people with Moses Gachau Nagata listening to the Gospel Revolution in Kenya. This message came through at 11:43 this morning, Michael, our time.
Yeah.
And, of course, you guys know that Moses found the Gospel Revolution and was walking 68 kilometers round trip for Internet access. And to say that he's as plugged in as Jackie Barnard or James Taylor or Lee Lau, or, I mean, he's plugged in.
Yeah.
So we get this email today from the new president of the School of the Scriptures. Not the School of the Bible, folks. We're talking about the Scriptures. We're talking about the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets that are reliable in the foreshadowing and the prophesying of the coming Anointed One, the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. He says, Jumbo, Mike and Glenn. And a Jumbo, of course, is a warm greeting from Kenya. He says, greetings to Jeff and all the gospel revolutionaries. Thanks a lot for last Wednesday's webcast. It was such enlightening. Mr. Ivan Rogers' version of hell was very true, especially when I compared and noted with Mark Speed's article from his book, Hell's Mistranslation, which I had happened to read prior to the webcast. We here at the School of the Scriptures are doing fine. We are now embarking on translating Mike's messages into Kiswahili, the Kiswahili language. And now we are doing the translation of the redemption of the world. We have a vision, guys. The gospel of grace and peace must soak this nation. We're up to the challenge. Love you guys. Hope to meet you someday. Cheers, Moses Nagata from Kenya.
We got some keeping up to do. Yeah, the to think that that recording that took place there in your living room those years ago are now being translated into Kiswahili is overwhelming.
Bro, you'll be happy to know the easy chair that you sat in my living room all those years ago. Here in beautiful Brandon, Florida, when you taught the redemption of the world, it's still in existence. In fact, it's in my bedroom right now, and I sat in it today.
Awesome. Well, to Moses and our school in Kenya, we love you guys, and you have our support. You have the support of people around this planet. We love your heart. We love the mind that you have for the gospel. Moses is obviously a very studious young man, and his heart is in this gospel. And we're very fortunate. You know, this is I have to be real honest though here with you guys. This is not something that we started in Kenya. This is something Moses started in Kenya, and we have chosen to support it.
Exactly.
And I don't want that misunderstood. I don't want this to look like a feather in our cap. This is, we are simply acknowledging the talent, the ability, the passion and the heart to share the gospel there, and we're putting our support behind them. And we want to legitimize this work in every way that we can, but please, the one thing that you can't think is that we started this work. This work was started by Moses, and respect you so much. Goodness, and anybody... Let me tell you, any place on planet Earth that you are putting forth an effort to share this gospel, you will have the support of Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution.
Exactly.
And an entire world of gospel revolutionaries. This is a first for us, but it will not be a last.
I wanted to put a feather in our cap tonight, I have to admit. Damn you, Mike Williams. Damn you. All right, so here's the information that just came through per request about Jackie's point about the Great Commission. Yeah, this is from Tom Tonsky, the Postmaster General. He says, there is nothing even close to anything to be an original transcript. Even the oldest and best copies of copies multiple times over. An interesting point is in the Gospel of Luke, there is a good thief on the cross. In Mark's gospel, which everyone agrees was the first written, both thieves reviled Jesus. That in and of itself shows that one of the evangelists took it upon himself to change the story. See, I didn't want to change the story, but you clarified the story about the School of the Scriptures in Kenya, no doubt.
Yeah, and I pulled up the Great Commission, which is Mark 16:15, and I have to say Thomas, I won that one. It was definitely after the cross.
All right. Hey, see, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The man knows his Bible. If there's one thing we can say, Michael Williams knows his Bible. All right. Wait, and thank God for that. That's for sure. Hey, Moses, we love you. Tom Tonsky, yeah. We love you. We also love the very talented James Taylor, who called us tonight, as well as Jacques Barnard from Wachuca City, Arizona. And his
Jacques Thomas.
Yes, Jacques. No, Thomas Jacques.
Yes.
And his significantly better half, Billy Thompson, also there in Wachuca City. Hey, Mikey, this is good times. Good stuff, man.
Wonderful, Glenn. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for all that you do for myself and the Gospel Revolution and the Gospel Revolutionaries. We all appreciate you. And, Jeff, we love you. Get well, dear one. We all depend on you for sure. So get well.
No doubt. Jeff Robertson, been physically ill for a bit, but on the mend. Sean O'Halloran also, I think he's completely mended up except for his T-shirt, which is the good news on this Wednesday night. Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online. Mikey, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom, everybody.